Before I begin, let me say what a pleasure it is to be here. Not only to be back with Abigail again, since we did serve together in the Diocese of Easton when I was the bishop, and I am retired and enjoying every minute of it, and to be with the whole family of the Nussel Huts. I've known them for a long time. And in fact, when Honor's confirmed this afternoon, I knew Honor before she was born. I remember the day she came into this world, Abigail. Okay, there we go. But it's also great to be here and to be in this historic building. I came here when I was in Philadelphia Divinity School back in the 70s when Bob DeWitt was your bishop. And then I also knew Lyman Ogilvie, who followed him. And I was here for an ordination for Paul. And I've always wanted to come back. Not because the building is so special. Not because Abigail's here, but because you have sheep in the graveyard. And I really always wanted to be a shepherd who would have a graveyard with sheep. And so I'm glad to be here. And when your bishop, who gave me permission to be here, I even called him and said, "Do you mind if I use a crozier, Daniel?" He said, "Well, you're a shepherd, you're a bishop." I said, "Thank you, sir." So that's why I've got it. So I'm going out to check the sheep out, because that's a real crozier given to me by a real shepherd when I was consecrated a bishop in 2003. So it really is a joy to be here and to share this morning with all of you. I thought maybe what's kind of interesting about our readings for today is that they do have a theme. Now, if you kind of read them, there's a thread that sort of winds its way through. It's not so clear all the time, but it's there. And I think it comes from the very heart of your Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 5, has this very kind of simple line tucked into it. It's number 5, verse 5, it says, "Commit your way to the Lord and put your trust in him." Now, today we're talking about commitment. And I'm not here to do a stewardship campaign and talk about your commitment financially, but I am here to, at the next service, confirm and reaffirm the commitment of those people in your congregation who are making a serious and a deliberate and public affirmation of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So this line, "Commit your way to the Lord," is really pretty powerful, because we forget about this line. It kind of tucked away in a psalm that doesn't appear all the time, maybe once, a couple times a year. But I think what the psalmist David was saying is really, if we're going to be followers of God, people of God, children of God, then we really do need, in some way or another, commit who we are, life and soul, heart and mind, body, to being what God calls us to be. Faithful individuals committed to being a follower. And I think the readings are really pretty straightforward. Now, you all know the story of Joseph. I assume you all do. Let's see some, do we get some shaking heads here? Remember Joseph? Okay, Old Testament, yeah. Gets sold into slavery by his brothers, stays in the prison, brothers go off, there's a famine, they come back, Joseph has risen to power, and Joseph is one of those guys who, I think over the years, as he probably had to bask in the loneliness of being in prison, the separation from his family, and all those things that go with it, Joseph kind of comes to his senses in a way. Eventually, we know he becomes, through his interpretation of the dreams of the Pharaoh, becomes a ruler in Egypt. So when his brothers return, what happened to him? Well, I think what happened to him is, in a way, he commits his way to the Lord, not really knowing maybe that, but he has a change of heart. And he forgives his brother. He forgives them, and reconciliation takes place. And that's part of what it means to be committed to the Lord. When we commit to the Lord, we have an understanding of faithfulness, of forgiveness, and of allowing reconciliation to be part and parcel of who we are And those we are dealing with really become brothers and sisters in the faith. And I think that's a very important lesson for us to remember for Joseph. Now, the reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 15th chapter, is a little different. Because what Paul is assuming that you know that he's talking about resurrection. When he's talking to them about imperishable and perishable and all the things that he discusses, what he's really talking about is what it means to be a person who believes in resurrection. Now, we who are basically older, do we have any children here? No, we're on that side, you know, all of us here, well, maybe some people, but all of us are on this side of the earth. You know, we're not ready to bite the dust yet, but we know it's coming, and it's really when we have committed our way to the Lord, the thing that makes me comfortable is I know that what Scripture says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last day I shall be face to face, and I will be in God's kingdom. And that's an imperishable doctrine of our church. We may perish from this earth, but the fact that we believe in the power of the resurrection, we do not have to fear death. We do not have to be afraid of dying. Because someday the gates are going to open and they're going to be up there. God's going to be there. Peter in the valley, right. He's going to be there. He's going to say, welcome, come on in. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have committed your way to the Lord. Now, if Peter says that, I want to sideline and sidebar in Peter's understanding of that. But I think that's what this lesson is talking about, is that resurrection is being faithful. When we are faithful, the resurrection applies to us. Now, we get to Jesus' stuff today. And Jesus' discussions today are not exactly the kind of words that we all want to hear, because they're hard words. Love your enemy. Love those who are deceitful. Love those who do you wrong. Love the world that is around you, that is falling apart, but yet we must have some kind of faith to know that it will be okay. And that we shall overcome some of the disastrous stuff that we live in and see every day. When we experience shootings in our schools, violence in our streets, drug addiction on every corner of American life, we gotta question what's wrong. And I think some of the dilemmas we have are because people don't commit to the Lord. They don't have an understanding that God is present in their lives and that Jesus is in each and every one of us, and inside of us is the Christ. And we need, as a society, we need as a world, we need as individuals to begin to say, okay, these are hard sayings, but I need to forgive. I need to love. I need to be reconciled. I need to not take advantage of my brothers and sisters who have done me wrong. And I know it's hard. I know how hard it is. Believe me. We all do. We all get it all the time. But if the world's going to ever progress, and if we as believers are ever going to progress in our faith and our understanding of life, we need to grapple with, wrestle with what Jesus says in this gospel. And really, love, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to love the people on the margins of society. But you know, that's where we have to be. One of the greatest experiences I have had is when I was involved with the Virginia Theological Seminary, and we were doing what we call multi-diversity training. Because what we found is that, you know, after seeing a movie called The Philosopher Kings, you ever see that, Isabel?
I have again. No.
Philosopher Kings talks about the inequities of human beings. Five different people, a gardener, an elevator operator, a matron in a motel, hotel kind of thing, and all this kind of stuff. And it talks about how those people have such great qualities of working to better themselves, sharing their lives, dealing with the people on a regular basis, making your life and my life really easier. And you know, lots of times, we don't even know who they are. We don't even know their names. And it dawned on me that the woman who worked in the kitchen at the Virginia Seminary, who took that little thing and took all the slop off the dishes and put the silverware in one place and the dishes in another and the cups in another, for years, I didn't even know who she was. Finally, I said to her, I said, "What is your name?" Well, Anna and I have become friends. We have become soulmates. And I think this is what Jesus is talking about when you have to. She wasn't my enemy, but she wasn't exactly someone I was going to rub shoulders with every day. But I did rub shoulders because she took care of me. And what gospel is all about is about reaching out and touching in a forgiving way, in a reconciliation way. And in a new way, the resurrection talks about new life. And Jesus is always pushing us, prodding us. Look at how life can be different. Look at how life can be better when you actually love someone, when you understand that. And I think that's what is happening. And at the 10 o'clock service, when I talk to our confirmands and those being received or renewing their faith, they're going to get the longer version of this. The much longer version, because I have the written down version here, but I'm speaking from my heart, because I think that's what we have to do. You know, some years ago, someone gave me a piece of needlepoint, and I had it in my office for a long time, and it said, if God had wanted us to be permissive, he would have given us the 10 suggestions. If God had wanted us to be permissive, he would have given us the 10 suggestions. God gave us commandments. Jesus gave us guidelines. Jesus fleshed out those commandments in specific ways. So I would ask you today to think about that verse from verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord, put your trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. Amen. And now, gracefully get down here without breaking my leg. Don't get old, friends. Not a broken.